Welcome to the Groupcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. I'm your host, Tamil Jones. This is our platform to where we discuss the ins and outs of everything gymnastics. We would like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, Gymnast United, Inc., and Pope Counseling Center for supporting this podcast. Today, devotion comes from, again, 365-day devotional, Jesus Calling, Enjoying Peace with His Presence by Sarah Young. I am with you and for you. Your face, nothing alone, nothing. When you feel anxious, know that you are focusing on the visible world and leaving me out of the picture. The remedy is simple. Fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Verbalize your trust in me, the living one who sees you always. I will get you safely through this day and all your days, but you can find me only in your present. Each day is a precious gift from my Father. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So today we're going to be having a discussion, an important discussion about suicide. We have Janice Jenkins with us. Janice is a licensed clinical social worker. She's been with Pope Counseling Center since 2017. She has her Master's of Social Work from the University of North Carolina. She's a clinical supervisor and registered play therapist. In addition to her private practice work, she works with various school systems providing mental health services. She specializes in working with children, adolescents, and enjoys helping this population overcome challenges and managing various emotions in today's society. So welcome, Janice Jenkins, to the Groupcast Gymnastics Unfiltered.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here and to talk more about this topic. It's very important to discuss.
Yes. So we're going to just talk about how to even have this discussion with children. What is your advice on having this discussion as a parent?
Yeah. So when talking to children about suicide, what you say should be based on age. So for younger age groups, I would recommend providing short responses and seeing if the child asks follow-up questions about the responses given. And so it's very important to let children lead the conversation, which gives parents the opportunity to see what information their child wants to know. And then for older children and adolescents, I would encourage parents to ask them what they know about suicide. So suicide is becoming more apparent in today's society, and children are starting to learn more about it at an early age. So I would encourage parents to be receptive to their child's thoughts and feelings, and then in doing so, assisting them with processing facts and debunking myths they may have heard on television or social media or just from like peer interactions. And also, in addition, it would be helpful to assist preteens and adolescents with identifying a plan to address conversations around suicide. So, for instance, they may have a friend who experiences suicidal ideations. And a lot of times, adolescents aren't sure what to do next to assist their friends. So I would encourage parents to teach their children to help their friends by seeking help from an adult when needed, even if this option would upset their friend. So like oftentimes confiding in an adult about underlying issues or things happening with a peer, that can cause some conflict. But I would kind of encourage parents to talk to their children about, not letting that deter them. Mm-hmm. It is also helpful to have a conversation with your child about resources that are available if they start to experience suicidal ideations themselves.
What kind of suicidal behaviors should parents be aware of?
Right. So there are different warning signs to look for. So some children may talk about suicide by saying things such as, my family would be better off without me, or I wish I wasn't here. So you have like that verbalization piece. Mm-hmm. And then some children may also write about it or draw pictures that can also lead to areas of concern. So sometimes this is seen in the school system and staff, like school staff is often encouraged to look for signs like this. So some children may write poems that kind of have some hidden messages in it, but then sometimes there's pictures too. Another thing is social isolation. And another big one is giving away belongings and prized possessions. So when you start seeing your children or teens doing that, that is another sign that there might be some underlying issues going on there. And then there's like frequent crying. If you start seeing like some self-harming behavior, another component is changes to appetite. So are they gaining or are they losing weight? And then sleep patterns is another issue. So are they sleeping too much or too little? That's another indicator that, you know, might be something going on. And also like a lack of interest in the future. So when you're talking to children or adolescents about their future, if they're like just kind of nonchalant, and like that can kind of be a concern also, like about like if they're not really focused on wanting to go to college or just wanting to like go out and hang out with their friends, like things that they're typically interested in, if that starts to change, then that's also another indicator.
Is there something that may trigger?
Yes. So I definitely think it's important, like, for parents to be receptive to their child's thoughts and feelings. That's very important. So kind of just doing like a, it's kind of like a self analysis of like how you're doing, where you're at, but also, I guess, confronting your child in, from a non-judgmental aspect. Mm-hmm. So listening to what they are saying without judgment and creating like that safe environment to talk about suicide. I think that's very important and a huge factor that can help a lot of children navigate some of these internalizations that they're experiencing.
I just want to reiterate what you just said, you know, because I am a parent. I have two boys, a 16 and a 12-year-old. And I think it's important just to listen and be still as a parent. Sometimes as parents, we're so judgmental and so wanting to put our input into what our child is saying. I think sometimes we have to sit back and let the good and the bad and the ugly of them expressing themselves come out. And I think that that speaks volume, that you can just sit there and let them be angry, let them express their emotions, good, bad, or ugly, so you can really feel and understand where that child is coming from.
Yes, definitely, definitely important to do that because they know that they can come to you. And so, yeah, it just goes back to how communication is just very key, and not just the verbal communication, but also like there's just the nonverbal cues that you're providing your child when talking about this topic or any topic for that matter.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsors and we're going to come back with Janice Jenkins. Welcome back to the Gripcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. I'm your host, Tamil Jones. We have Janice Jenkins with us, and she's a therapist with Pope Counseling Center. And we're having a conversation about suicide. When should parents get professional help if they see their child contemplating suicide or having suicidal behavior?
Right. So that's a very important question. And I'm sure a lot of, you know, parents are wondering that, who might be seeing some things within their child. So if you are noticing frequent changes in your child's mood, I would recommend seeking help from a mental health professional. So if you're noticing that your child is sad or anxious, ask them what's wrong and communicate with them about an outlet such as therapy, which can help them with managing these big emotions that they're experiencing. And you can also have conversations with your child's pediatrician about areas of concern. It's always better to be proactive than reactive. So if you are noticing one of the warning signs that I mentioned, take the steps to initiate the therapeutic process. And if a crisis occurs and you feel like your child is at immediate risk, transport them to your nearest emergency room for further evaluation. And then there are also other resources such as suicide hotlines, such as the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that number is 800-273-TALK. So there's definitely different avenues that you can explore if needed. So definitely looking for, and I guess honing in on those warning signs and being aware of what you're seeing and then taking the necessary steps.
I know earlier we had discussed communication, but I want to discuss it again because I think now in this COVID season, just making sure that they are staying positive and upbeat and, you know, just kind of just checking in with your child on a regular basis and how important that is. Can you just reiterate to our parents how important that is?
Yeah, so communication is key. Like, so I say that often to a lot of the parents that I work with. So if you begin to notice changes in your child's behavior, talk to them about what they're feeling and assist them exploring more about their thoughts, their feelings, and emotions. There may be a time where you suspect that your child is thinking about suicide. If so, don't be afraid to use the word suicide when communicating with them about this area. So be direct with your questions and don't shy away from terminology. A common myth is that if individuals use the word suicide when talking to someone at risk, it may be interpreted as an encouragement. However, just talking about suicide provides the opportunity for communication. So I would definitely encourage parents to utilize the word suicide when needed, because it opens up that window of communication with your child.
Yeah, I think, again, communication and also just being present in that moment, not thinking about, you know, what your child said last week or a month ago, or thinking about those situations. Being present is so important too. Would you agree with that?
Yes, definitely. It is imperative to be an active participant in your child's life. So when it comes to suicide, the warning signs are there. So involvement allows for parents to see what is going on and to take heed of any sudden changes in overall mood, social interactions, and daily routine. So just being present is just a big, big component to just identifying the warning signs and taking the necessary steps.
During this COVID season, a lot of kids are in isolation. So how can parents support and try to avoid too much of isolation during this COVID season?
Right. So it's definitely hard. You have to kind of think outside of the box in a way. But I would definitely encourage parents to, I guess, help their children maintain communication with their peers through video calls or phone calls. You know, the older children and often enjoy maintaining contact with their friends through texting. You know, they have like FaceTiming, and then also maybe like playing online video games. So with that, I know it's a lot of like electronic use. So kind of screen time, kind of have to maybe relook at that, especially just right now with what's going on with COVID, to allow that opportunity to have more of that connection with their peer group. And then you can also incorporate family nights into weekly schedules. So not just maintaining, you know, interactions with friends, also just maintaining interactions with the family unit. So I would definitely encourage like family nights and, you know, having that interaction, playing board games or watching movies together. That also plays a part in encouraging your child to interact with those around them.
Yes. Parents, be creative. I know that right now, you know, we're in isolation, and I would say outside activity is great. I know that with my kids, one of their outings, if they come with me to the grocery store, that's one thing. And we make trips to the international store, and we've been trying different foods, and learning something new together is helpful. I know that has helped our family. We had started a garden. We've just done some different family things together, but being active and having some type of structure does help. I know with my children, it does. You know, just be creative, think outside the box when it comes to trying new things and new experiences with your children. So moving forward, I know you gave us some information on some support groups and some the 1-800. Can you do that again?
Yes. So there's suicide hotlines, and one of the ones that I mentioned was National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. And that number is 800-273-TALK. And then there's also support groups around our local area. So we have HUGS Charlotte, and HUGS stands for Healing and Understanding of Grief from Suicide. And then there's also Hope After Suicide Loss. That's another support group. And another one is Living After Suicide. So that's another support group as well.
This is such good information, but I want to say to those parents, you're not by yourself. I know this is a difficult subject to talk about, but get the help that you need so you have some support. It can be very overwhelming dealing with this, and it's very emotional because it's your child. So you want to make sure that you're getting the support that you need. Again, we're here to support you at the Gripcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. You're welcome to reach out to us. We will help as much as we can to get you help and get you the right support to support your family. So once again, I want to say thank you to Janice Jenkins for coming on our podcast. Can you give us some information how that you can be reached for further information?
Yes, I can definitely do that. So I work at Polk Counseling Center, which is located in Cornelius, North Carolina. And so the number, a good number to reach me there would be 704-840-5035. And that's a great way to just call and make an appointment, and we can kind of definitely touch base and talk about some different things that you're seeing and kind of talk about next steps. So that would be a great way to contact me to just kind of make those steps to seek professional help.
Great. Once again, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Anchor, Gymnast United, Inc., and Polk Counseling Center for supporting this podcast. If you would like to support us, you are welcome to send donations to www.anchor.fm/Gymnast United, Inc., or you may go to www.thegripcast.com. If you're learning from us, we just ask that you support us so we can keep going. Please share this podcast with your friends and family. But thank you so much for listening and supporting us at the Gripcast Gymnastics Unfiltered. Have a blessed day.